Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
On X at Rich Zeoli. So, look, I think that The Atlantic, which has proven itself to be on the politics side despicable. However, they did write an interesting piece I saw regarding the show White Lotus, how it is the first post-woke show and how they made changes to the show after Trump's election. But also in the sense that the show is, even though it's got this really some weird like sexual stuff in the show, how it's not going after the typical woke buttons and wokeisms and groups and everything else. But the Atlantic, obviously, this is the Jeffrey Goldberg. This is the Signal story. Signal, which, by the way, this has been the best thing that's ever happened to Signal. This whole Signal story, which I told you last week was going to be a short story, a couple days. I told you that last week, a couple days, short story, and it'll be over. I did not see this story having the shelf life that everybody said that it would. I just knew it wouldn't because nobody died. And it was a mistake, and people make mistakes. We also don't know exactly how Jeffrey Goldberg got added to the chat, if it was subterfuged by somebody in the office or not. And I hope they find out. But I said this last week on Newsmax, shameless plug, and I said it last week on the show multiple times. I said the Signal story will not be a story next week, and it's not. It's gone away. The only thing about the Signal story that's relevant is the fact that Signal, as a company, is having gangbusters over this. Gangbusters. There were like 8 million new downloads of Signal that came out since this whole story came out. So that's what happened. And I don't look. I get it. I mean, people are now looking at this app and they're curious about it. I downloaded it for my phone too. I used to have it, and I didn't use it anymore. I used to use it in politics all the time. Everybody in politics used encrypted apps, especially years ago before the iPhone message to message encryption. Problem is, if you have a friend who doesn't have an iPhone, you got that Android person in your group, and you know who I'm talking about here. Everybody has one. Then it's green. That means it's not encrypted. But Signal, Telegram, there's other apps too like this now. The app was downloaded 8.8 million times in the first quarter of 2025 after Signalgate came out. And it's funny because when I downloaded it, I saw that everybody that I frequently talk to in politics is on Signal. I'm not surprised by that fact. Not in the least. I'm not going to name names, but I'm just saying. I'm not surprised by that. It's everybody wants their privacy. Everybody wants to be protected from the spies, the deep state, the government constantly monitoring you. And yeah, private companies doing it too. But honestly, I don't worry as much about Google. I worry about the government. That's what I worry about. And I worry about them profiling us, and I worry about them listening to our communications and reading our emails and doing all of these things and creating profiles of us as domestic violent extremists. So I think the more you can keep your conversations away from the government, the better. This is why years ago, you know, I said, let's not go into that guy's phone. The terrorist, it was me and Rush Limbaugh, and just about the only the two of us, God rest Rush's soul, who said it's not just one phone, and the government should not force Apple to break its encryption because of this. The government should not force Apple to destroy its product. We were in the minority on this back then. But, you know, I thank God that we never went down that road. And this idea that Apple has to have a back door for the UK to be able to get into, no, just stop operating in their country. If a government is forcing an iPhone to be able to have a backdoor for law enforcement purposes, then no, absolutely not. No, I understand that they will always say terrorists to us, but we just lived through 4 years where we were the terrorists. We were the bad guys. Constantly, we were the ones who they were looking at and spying and monitoring. I know that there's this off chance that some terrorist out there could be communicating on a private chat. I get that. I understand that point. But the bigger problem for me, the scarier fear for me, is my government coming after me for my views and my thoughts. And we've seen that happen. We saw that happen 4 years of the Biden administration. We watched that happen every single day in this country to pro-lifers, to moms at school board meetings, to guys shopping at Cabela's, to people who buy guns and ammo. We saw it happen. We saw it happen to Donald Trump. We saw the government go after him. And today on Capitol Hill, you had that failed musical theater actress Nina Jankowicz was on Capitol Hill talking about why they needed to have the disinformation board. And a lot of revelations came out today on Capitol Hill from Matt Taibbi, and also to the revelation by the House Judiciary Committee that the FBI knew the Hunter Biden laptop, and they purposely, now this is key, they purposely put a gag order on that so people could not discuss the Hunter Biden laptop. They wanted everybody to believe it was Russian disinformation. So much so that they went to the point of turning around and saying that to big tech companies, this is Russia. So that they would not destroy this myth that they created of Joe Biden being this kind old man hiding in his basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. And the battle right now in this country is for information. Who controls the information? And they're constantly trying to get it, constantly. But let me back up to the Atlantic story, because the Atlantic is it's a wretched publication. But I did like that one story about White Lotus that they wrote, but that's it. You know, I monitor all these different outlets and stories, and I'm constantly, obviously, streaming information to try to get you the truth about stories and to go a little bit deeper into things, obviously. I don't always get it right, because I clearly didn't ask McCormick the question that everybody wanted me to ask him, so my apologies. We've reached out to his office. We've invited him back on the show, just so you know, all right? And Sam can apologize to me for suggesting that I was in some way trying to give him a softball interview. Did Sam leave the YouTube chat? Did he run home like Roger did? Is that what happened? Is that what happened?
He's,
apparently,
he's still in the chat.
Oh, he is? All right, Sam, good for you. Good for you. Remember, I kid because I love, all right? I bust chops with people I like. Sam's back. Good. Roger's still not here, right? Because Roger ran away, didn't like the ribbing, couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
I run home, Roger get a sense. Tissue. Yeah, Roger's got. Roger's changed his name. But, you know, good for Sam for, you know, being a man. What'd he say? I'm here. I just have been mad at McCormick ever since he did that. Fair enough. I get it. I totally understand. I just wrote his office. I wrote him a note. I said people are mad about his Doge vote. Can you guys explain it? All right. Just so you know, I did that. I don't hide from any questions. But you know what makes me mad is that you think I would. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Have I ever done? I don't do that. That's not who I. First of all, the guy's got 6 years left. It's not like I even have to help him get reelected yet. I mean, he's got a long way to go. So that's stupid. It's like, what? He won't come back on the show? He's not like that. He's not a coward. He'll explain his vote. He's probably already put out a statement on it. I just don't have it. Because, again, I was going to talk about term limits, which is something I was excited about. I was in a good mood to talk about something very happy, term limits. And then I got taken down this rabbit hole now, and now I'm cranky. All right? So now I'm going to, for the next 3 hours now, I'm going to be cranky. All right? But here's Caroline Leavitt going after The Atlantic. And she says, you know, if you just saw the headline from this magazine, you would think this individual is a father of the year, cut number three.
I would like to point out that if you just saw the headline from the insane failing Atlantic magazine this morning, you would think this individual was father of the year, living in Maryland, living a peaceful life, when that couldn't be further from the truth. They didn't even mention in the title of that article or even in the first paragraph that this individual is an illegal criminal who broke our nation's immigration laws. He is a leader in the brutal MS-13 gang, and he is involved in human trafficking, and now MS-13 is a designated foreign terrorist organization. Foreign terrorists have no legal protections in the United States of America. And this administration is going to continue to deport foreign terrorists and illegal criminals from our nation's interior.
There you go. That's it. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that's just what that's what they said they're going to do, and it's what they're doing. What they promised to do and what they're going to do. And removing MS-13 terrorists is exactly what they want to do. It's what Tom Homan's all about. And they're not going to stop doing that. And guess what? The American people support it. And yeah, there are bad people who have kids. Not just good people reproduce. I wish it was the case. I'm not urging castration or sterilization. I don't want anyone to take me out of context here. I'm not Margaret Sanger or anything like that. I'm just simply saying that it would be nice if only decent people reproduced. However, that's not the case. And sometimes criminals also have children. So anyway, here's Caroline Leavitt talking about MS-13 and why the administration is prioritizing their removal. Cut number four.
And let me tell you why we've made this commitment. MS-13, may I remind each and every one of you, is a brutal and vicious gang. They raped and strangled a 20-year-old autistic woman to death in Maryland. They hacked four people to death with machetes in a park on Long Island. They have kidnapped, sexually tortured, and shot a teenage girl in Texas after she insulted them, allegedly. Killed and mutilated a 17-year-old girl in Virginia, stabbing him 16 times and cutting off his hands. They beheaded and cut out the heart of a man in Washington, D.C. They raped and murdered a 13-year-old girl in California. They sex trafficked a slew of young girls, including one who was just 12 years old. Raped an 11-year-old girl in Brooklyn while her brother was in the room. Sex trafficked a 13-year-old in Maryland and Virginia, miles away from this White House, even beating her 26 times on her backside with a baseball bat. Pressured homeless New Yorkers to undergo unnecessary surgeries such as spinal fusion in order to bolster their fraudulent lawsuits. These are vicious criminals. This is a vicious gang. And I wish that the media would spend just a second of the same time you have spent trying to litigate each and every individual of this gang who has been deported from our country as the innocent Americans whose lives have been lost at the hands of these brutal criminals. We maintain our position, and very strongly so.
And they're winning. It's a political winner. I mean, deporting criminals is a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Just like locking them up is a no-brainer. This is what I don't think they can comprehend this point. Is, you know, we punish a lot of people in this country for nonsense. We really do. I mean, I've talked about criminal justice reform for years, and President Trump signed the First Step Act, which I applauded. And he also pardoned and commuted people for, I think, ridiculous drug sentences, nonviolent drug offenders. We incarcerate a lot of people, too many people in this country, in my opinion, for a lot of nonsense, ridiculous things. I mean, honestly, truly. And too often the government goes after people. And because people don't have the resources to push back, they want to agree to a plea agreement and they spend a couple years in prison when they really would have won potentially in a jury trial if they had access to great counsel. And it's just take Mark Houck as a good example. this guy, you know, charged with assaulting somebody outside of an abortion clinic. Well, actually, technically blocking access to it under this stupid federal abortion access law that they have on the books. And the Biden Justice Department threw the books at him and they said, cop to a plea, 3 years in prison. He said, no, he's going to fight back. But we incarcerate too many people in this country. But violent criminals, no one thinks they should be in anywhere but prison. No one thinks that. Or dead, quite frankly. I mean, Pam Bondi is now looking for the death penalty against Luigi Mangione, which is going to freak out the left because they've been treating this guy as a hero for brutally murdering a father, by the way, on the streets of New York, the CEO of United Healthcare. And we've had wackos call the show and justify that senseless murder of this man. But I didn't hear a lot of sympathy for the fact that he was a father. There's so many people were cheering this guy on and still do. I mean, Bill Burr and others like treating him like he's a folk hero. Well, she's going to go for the death penalty against Luigi Mangione. I don't know if she'll get it or not, but that's what she's going to try to do. She said this was an act of cold blood. And she's definitely going to do that. But my point is, nobody wants violent criminals on the streets of the United States of America. Nobody. They don't want terrorists on our streets. And so whether it's deporting them or locking them up, and frankly, I'd rather them be deported because I don't want to have to pay for their incarceration. I got enough people to pay for in this country because our jails are overflowing and a lot of people shouldn't be in prison. They should be home with an ankle bracelet on. They're not violent. They didn't do anything that deserves to be behind bars. But we have a system that in many ways profits off of this and we pay for it. And the cost to house and incarcerate somebody in this country is astronomical because we have to treat them with all kinds of rights and we got to feed them and give them health care and everything else. So if we can deport them so I don't have to pay the tab, great. Bravo. Sign me up. Here's Kristi Noem talking to Brett Baer about how many people they deported in this country. Cut 17.
We have deported over 120 people that are on the known terrorist watch list out of this country, over 800 TDA members, and over 100,000 different arrests have been made of criminals that are out of this country. Every single family that can identify with Laken Riley's family, Jocelyn Nungery's family, people who were devastated by these criminals are thankful that they're gone, and President Trump is on the right side of history.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that complicated. We don't want criminals on our streets. Violent criminals need to go, okay? But it's it. That's what has to happen. So good. And that's a winning issue. That's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Matt, can you find, I think Pam Bondi may have spoken about Luigi Mangione, if you can find that for me, or she may have just issued a statement. I'm not quite sure. But if she said something, and what did you just text me right now?
Oh, so right now Congress is having hearings on the JFK assassination files, and Oliver Stone actually just testified, if you'd like to hear some of that audio.
He did? Yes. All right, yes. Let me take a break, and I'll come right back. That's great. Cool. All right, awesome. Now I'm back in a good mood. See, Sam? Can't break my mood for long. Ah. Nice try. Nice try, Sam. I mean, nice try, Roger. I mean, Sam, good job. Not happening. Roger Stone testifying today. Anna Paulina Luna brought him before her committee, huh?
Oliver Stone, yes.
What did I say? Roger Stone? Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
Oliver Stone. Roger Stone also thinks it's a conspiracy, but Oliver Stone, the famous director, testifying today. Both Stones believe there's a conspiracy and Lyndon Johnson had a hand in it, but Oliver Stone, the one testifying today. So that's good. Spring is here. When it comes to your lawn care company, I want you to choose the lawn care company that I use, and that's Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company. I don't mean I don't own them, but I've been a customer of theirs for years, and I love the work that they do. You're going to get greener grass with fewer weeds, guaranteed, by the way. And the best part about Natural Lawn of America is that they customize their service to your particular lawn. Because every lawn is different and the needs of every lawn are different. And they look at all kinds of different things. They look at the rain in the forecast. They look at the way the grass is growing. And they seed your lawn for free every year. They take all kinds of soil samples, measurements. It's very scientific, but it's an incredibly friendly approach, too. with the result being an organic approach to lawn care that is safer for your kids and your pets. Insect control that actually works. So reach out to them today. Get your lawn seeded for free every year. That overseeding makes such a difference. And since they're a local family-owned company, you can trust the work that they do. I'm very happy with them. Somebody asked me today, my friend Bill Rubino. I was supposed to have breakfast with him, but I had to cancel on him because of a potential Newsmax hit that actually did not pan out, as a matter of fact. That happens. I'll be on there on Thursday. But I said to Bill today, absolutely, buddy, trust them. They're great. They'll do a great job. And always mention me when you call them. 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass. Fewer weeds. Guaranteed.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at Beaumont Health KS.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the JFK assassination, he, of course, made the movie JFK, which some consider to be conspiracy porn. Other people consider to be the movie that reopened the conversation on the Kennedy assassination, which then would prompt Bill Clinton, which would prompt other presidents down the road to also say they were going to release the files and then ultimately not release the files. But there was a lag time, you know, after the assassination. Obviously, there were years of in books and investigations and everything else. There was the trial. There was the 1978 House Select Subcommittee on the Assassination of JFK, which ruled a likely conspiracy. And then it kind of went dormant. You know, I mean, the 80s happened and there was a lot going on with Russia and the Soviet Union. And, you know, but people still had questions and books would still come out. Lee Harvey Oswald's ties to the Soviet Union would come out. Honestly, the movie JFK came out and a whole new generation was finally confronted with the question of, was there a conspiracy to kill the president of the United States of America? I remember the first time I saw it, I was blown away by the movie, no pun intended, but too soon for that joke. Too soon. The assassination was how many years ago, Matt DeSantis?
Yeah, like 60.
Yeah, I got to wait like 100 years to make a joke like that. That's inappropriate. I didn't mean to even say it. It just, you know, but no blown away jokes. That's like 60 years. It's just like, you know, it's too soon. Too soon, as they say. But I was totally blown away by this. And, you know, even Seinfeld, back into the left, back into Seinfeld took, if you remember that second spitter episode of Seinfeld, that all comes from the JFK movie, the scene of there had to be a second shooter, back into the left, back into the left, that whole scene. That movie, JFK, became a cultural flashpoint in reopening up America's interest in this in a major, major way. And Bill Clinton said he was going to release the files. He didn't. He released some, but not all of them. Kind of went dormant again. And then every now and then it would pick up a little bit of steam. In 2016, Trump said he would release the files. He didn't release all of them. Now he has. Now they're all out there. And the big question that I think a lot of us had is, why did they wait so long? What really was in there that they couldn't have released back in 1992 when Bill Clinton first said he would do it as president? He became president in 1993. The movie JFK came out in 92. And It was an important movie. Now, whether or not the movie is truly accurate, Gerald Posner, for one, who wrote the book Case Closed, thinks that the movie is, very well made, complete and utter conspiracy propaganda. But of course, there are people that believe Gerald Posner is just CIA propaganda. So it just depends on who you ask. I for one, found the movie to be incredibly well done. Kevin Costner as Jim Garrison, the attorney who brings the case in New Orleans, fantastic. The scene with Donald Sutherland, fantastic. There's some weird scenes in there, like the Joe Pesci thing and the Tommy Lee Jones thing, and that's all a little bizarre and strange. But for the most part, it's a very well-done movie. It leaves you asking a lot of questions, and then it spurred me to read a ton of books after that. Yeah, I saw it. I was in high school, and then I said, I'm going to read everything I can on this assassination. So I did. And I went through a period of time where I was obsessed with the Kennedy assassination, read everything I could get my hands on about it. And it was amazing how different, depending on the angle you went down, you know, which way the book was trying to guide you. But ultimately, we know that Lee Harvey Oswald was somebody who was in the Soviet Union. We know that he was somebody who was clearly had a CIA file on him and an FBI file on him. And I mean, all those things are true. Whether or not he was part of the CIA, whether or not he was the lone gunman, whether or not he was part of a broader conspiracy, we're never going to know the answer to these questions, sadly, because whatever proof is really there, I think, is gone. But I still think it's worth exploring. I think it's worth exploring, if nothing else, because the question of why our government chooses to keep secrets from the American people is a topic that we should always be discussing. Oh, yeah. John Candy was in that movie, too. Thank you. Yes, Road Warrior. Yeah, very true. He was. That's right. I forgot about that. Because it took place in multiple locations, but primarily was focused on New Orleans because of the tie between Clay Shaw and the New Orleans Mafia, and then the link there to Lee Harvey Oswald, and then, you know, the link to Dallas and the Cubans and the people that wanted revenge to kill Kennedy after the Bay of Pigs fiasco. And I mean, the thing about JFK is it kind of pointed fingers at everybody. I think the most telling line in that movie was when Lyndon Johnson said, just give me your damn, make me president, I'll give you your damn war. Remember that? Anyway, here's Oliver Stone today testifying before this committee. This is chaired by Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna, who is somebody who believes there absolutely was a conspiracy to kill President Kennedy. She's vowed to get to the bottom of it. Take a listen.
I asked the committee to reopen what the Warren Commission failed miserably to complete. I ask you in good faith, outside all political considerations, to reinvestigate the assassination of this President Kennedy from the scene of the crime to the courtroom, which means, which never happened, but which means the chain of custody on the rifle, the bullets, the fingerprints, the autopsy that defies belief, and that if it were a murder, we'd have given to the poorest man dying in a gutter.
Is that it? That's all we got?
Let us reinvestigate the fingerprints of intelligence all over Lee Harvey Oswald from 1959 to 1960, his violent death in 1963. And most importantly, this CIA, whose muddy footprints are all over this case, a true interrogation. James Angleton, before he died, who was one of the original members of the CIA, was talking about Dulles and Helms and the others, what he called the Grand Masters. And he's a Catholic. Angleton was a Catholic in search, perhaps, of repentance before his death. He did say, quote, if you were in a room with them, you were in a room full of people that you had to believe would deservedly end up in hell. I guess I will see them soon. This is our democracy. This is our presidency. It belongs to us. Treat us with respect.
Thank you.
By the way, among the cast in that movie, and yes, it was Tommy Lee Jones who played Clay Shaw. Gary Oldman played Lee Harvey Oswald. Jim Garrison played Earl Warren in that movie. Little tidbit, he had a cameo as Earl Warren, but the actual Jim Garrison, who in the movie is portrayed by Kevin Costner. Joe Pesci, Jack Lemmon, Kevin Bacon, everybody's in this freaking movie. Donald Sutherland, John Candy, Sissy Spacek, Edward Asner, Laurie Metcalf, Michael Rooker is in it. Walter Matthau's in it. Who isn't in this movie? Vincent D'Onofrio, Sally, literally everybody's in this movie. Wayne Knight, Newman's in this movie. Newman's in JFK. I forgot about that. Look at this. I mean, look at this. I'm about to say this. Everybody that you've ever heard of is in this movie. Walter Cronkite's in it. Well, I think that was just a newsreel. Jimmy Hoffa. I don't know if the actual Jimmy Hoffa. I think he was dead when they made the movie. But Malcolm X was in it. Oh, they probably used B-roll of that. Whoopi Goldberg. I don't know if she was in it. John Larroquette. Who the hell wasn't in JFK is the question. I think a cast of thousands. Anyway, do me a favor, Matt. Just keep an eye on that hearing. See if anything interesting actually comes out of it. Because I don't really know if anything interesting will. But it's nonetheless interesting to watch. So keep an eye on it for me if you would. I'd appreciate that. Thank you very much. On Capitol Hill today, they had the hearing on disinformation and misinformation. That was going on today. Nina Jankowicz, the failed musical theater actress, trying to justify the disinformation board that they had. And I think that whole thing's a joke. I'm going to get into that in just a moment. But I want to play this for you as well. With regards to how the administration's doing on the border and doing what they said that they would do on the border, Southwest border crossings in March fell to their lowest level in history. This is what Caroline Levitt said today. This is cut number five from the White House press briefing. Cut five.
On another note, at our southern border, there is more massive news. Southwest border crossings in March fell to the lowest level in American history, down 94% from March of last year under President Biden, when 137,000 illegal aliens poured across our wide-open southern border. Thanks to President Trump's leadership, Border Patrol agents are now back to doing the jobs they signed up for, securing the border, rather than serving as travel agents for illegal aliens. The Los Angeles Times captured the Trump effect on the border with a recent article. Their headline read, California-Mexico border, once overwhelmed, is now nearly empty. With so few migrants coming into the U.S., they wrote, shelters that once served migrants have completely closed. Deportations of illegal aliens who threaten the safety of the American people are also continuing at a rapid pace.
It's also important to know that she talked about tariffs today at the White House and was asked a question. You know, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? And that's the question. What if it doesn't work? She's confident it will work. And that's what she said. She's confident it's going to work. She believes it's going to work. And this is from the White House press briefing today. Cut number six.
Well, the ultimate change for these companies and these countries, Mark, will happen when they decide to do business in the United States of America. And as I just laid out, they will face no tariffs at all if these companies choose to invest here in the United States and to move their production and their manufacturing here to the United States as well. As for tomorrow, the president will be addressing the decades of unfair trade practices that have ripped our country off and American workers off. It has hollowed out our middle class. It has destroyed our heartland. And the president is focused on reshifting our global economy to ensure that America is once again the manufacturing superpower of the world.
Duh, right there in front of me, cut number one. Looking at every cut but the first cut on the cut sheet. Can't say that by law. Fox News' Peter Doocy grilling Caroline Levitt on the wild stock market swings and whether or not, you know, what if the president's wrong about tariffs? That's the $64,000 question, billion-dollar, trillion-dollar question. He ran on this. He's convinced this is going to work. He believes this in his heart. I do not believe he's doing this out of any other reason than he believes this is going to work. I know a lot of people in this audience hate tariffs. I know a lot of people are concerned by this. I get pummeled by tweets and emails pro-tariff and anti-tariff. It is a very divisive issue, but a couple things to keep in mind. Number one, Trump ran on this. He did not hide from this. He said he was going to do this. Number two, he firmly believes in his heart this is what is going to forever change this country for the good. Number three, he has economists around him who also believe that this is the way to go. People like Howard Lutnick, who's a very, very smart guy, much smarter than I am when it comes to money and economics. Number four is Trump does not want to go down in history as a failure. That's not in his bones, not in his DNA. It's not. So if it doesn't work, he will be adjusting, readjusting course. He's not going to allow an economic collapse to occur. I know people think that that is inevitable with tariffs, but I don't believe that he would allow himself to leave office as an unpopular president. So, yeah, the question is, what if it doesn't work? Well, nobody knows for sure. Trump's confident it will. He believes that this will work. And he won seven states campaigning on doing tariffs. He won the Electoral College campaigning on doing tariffs. He won the popular vote campaigning on doing tariffs. So one could argue that he has the right to try, considering that the American public knew what he was going to do and voted for him. Now, look, for many of us, we said during the campaign, we can all negotiate this later. Let's win. And we did have to win. And so there's a lot of people out there who have reservations about this and said, you know, we thought they're going to be reciprocal. This is going too far. But I think the guiding premise here is that Donald Trump does not want to be unpopular in terms of history. He's doing this because he believes it's going to work. He believes it's going to be what's right for America. That's what he believes. That's what Caroline Leavitt said today when Peter Ducey confronted her on this question. I mean, politely confronted her. It wasn't like rude or anything, but cut number one.
Peter.
Thank you, Caroline. When the president goes down to Florida on the weekends, does he ever hear from there are so many retired folks down in Florida. Does he ever hear from any retired Americans who are stressed about these wild swings in the stock market because of the tariff uncertainty, and they're sitting there on fixed income or living off a 401k, and they don't know how much money's going to be left?
Well, certainly they are legitimate concerns, and the president takes those concerns very seriously, and he's addressing them every single day. And tomorrow's announcement is to protect future generations of the senior citizens you mentioned. It's for their kids and their grandkids to ensure that there are jobs here in the United States of America for their children to live the American dream, just like they presumably did. And as for their worries about their 401ks, their Social Security, I just addressed Social Security. This president is always going to protect it for our tax-paying senior citizens. As for their 401ks, look at what President Trump did for you in his first term. He is working on implementing that economic formula every single day by lowering inflation, lowering energy prices, massive deregulatory efforts, while simultaneously effectively implementing tariffs. And they'll hear more about that announcement tomorrow.
And you said that the president right now is with the trade and tariff team. They are very confident that this is all going to work. But yes. What if they're wrong?
They're not going to be wrong. It is going to work. And the president has a brilliant team of advisors who have been studying these issues for decades. We are focused on restoring the golden age of America and making America a manufacturing superpower. And again, Peter, I would point you to the investments that have already trickled into this country. And the president hasn't even made his tariff announcement yet tomorrow. There have been billions of dollars in private investments from around the world pouring into American communities. What does that look like for those watching at home, for the people you mentioned, worried about their own economic circumstances? It means more jobs in your communities, which means more money, more investments, more money in your pocket. That's what the president is committed to. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the president's commitment to tax cuts, which we are counting on Congress to do, especially on Social Security.
Chuck Grassley said, if this results in the world having less tariffs, then it will be a better place. That also may be what's happening here. We may be witnessing Trump's famous art of the deal, four-dimensional chess, where these countries realize he's not backing down. There's no extensions. This is it. Happening tomorrow. 4 p.m. He's planning to announce all this in the Rose Garden. And they are looking at this now as going to be the most dramatic change for our country economically in decades. I mean, certainly this century. Does that lead other countries to make panic phone calls to the White House saying that we will suspend our tariffs to the United States, tariffs on imports from the United States to our countries? Possibly. Are there going to be more exceptions made in order for the car parts to be for American cars to be built in the United States in the short term until they can ramp up the production facilities here in the U.S. to make the parts. Because, you know, for even for a lot of American cars, they have to import parts from places like Mexico, for example. They may need time to ramp that up. Will there be time for that given? Possibly. And we just don't know. You know, we don't know what's going to happen here. And that's really the question. Dr. Mike Vinaria is the dentist I want you to call and reach out to because he's the guy who's going to give you that beautiful smile you deserve. VinariaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VinariaDental.com. What separates Dr. Mike? Well, first of all, he's the master of dental implants. Complicated dental work. You need a guy who has been recognized among his peers as a master of dental implants and complicated dental procedures in general. Look, you may have a dentist close to you. There may be even a chain dental practice near you, but you want to go to the best, not the closest. And that's Dr. Mike. With two locations in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, he's easy to get to. People in the office are great, great music playing, and he's going to take great care of your smile, just like he has for my family, because we all go to see Dr. Mike. So go see him today. Reach out to him at 856-786-2020. There's also a link between your gum health and your heart health, and a link between gum health and your microbiome, which is your gut health, which also has effects on your whole body. There's all this research now into this, and it's amazing how if you're putting off going to see a dentist and you don't have good oral hygiene, how it could be impacting everything from heart disease to your gut health. So go see Dr. Mike today. They say you should see a dentist twice a year. Get a free implant consultation for that complicated dental work. VinariaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Will Cain show on Fox News. They go through like 500 topics on that show in an hour. It's amazing. See, in radio, we get into depth on, we take a topic, we really dive into it. I remember Rush Limbaugh used to say that about television, that he would always want to do radio, not TV, because TV, it's such a frenetic pace in terms of, you know, it's like 3 minutes. And, you know, now that I'm doing more television, obviously, like Fox News, for example, and you see that because you'll do a 3 minute hit. So, I mean, your whole day is shot basically for I'm not complaining, believe me, I'm looking forward to doing more of it, but it is very different than talk radio. That's why talk radio is always going to exist, whether it is in this format in terms of actual on the air, whether it's podcasts, whatever it is, it's always going to exist because it's the only place where you can really get into depth on topics and have real conversations. Like, for example, I don't put much stock into like radio consultants, for example. You know, somebody told me once something stupid, like every 9 minutes you should be talking about the topic of the day, like literally like every 9 minutes resetting and just repeating yourself almost every 9 minutes. And I can't imagine what that would be like other than I would bash my head against a wall if I had to keep saying the same thing over and over again the entire show. If you miss something that you really want to hear, you always have the ability to go back with the Odyssey Rewind, or you can certainly with the podcast. I don't know if you can still do it. Matt, will we still skip the podcast, like go through the podcast and segments and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you can't like skip to different segments, but I structure it so that you can find what you want to listen to.
Yeah, and we don't. We don't miss anything. It's just I can't. Just talk about one topic for the whole show. That'd be boring. You know what I mean? But imagine that.
It wouldn't even be possible with your ADD. You bounce around even when we don't intend to.
Shots fired. Did you get me a dwarf?
No, I'm still working on it.
Why don't you use those witty skills of yours to do something useful and productive like get me a dwarf?
I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
You're criticizing my ADD. You already forgot to get a dwarf.
Didn't forget.
People in glass houses should not throw stones at DeSantis.
I'm sorry. I retract my statement. You do a wonderful show.
Don't even start. All right. Susan Crabtree's going to join us next. We have some more audio from the JFK hearing with Oliver Stone, which is really fascinating. Gavin Newsom's full of it, but there's a breaking news story regarding the Secret Service that Susan Crabtree has a hot take on. We're going to talk to her about this straight ahead. So this is going to be 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead coming up for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.